Thank you all for coming. The handout is in the chat, so you should be able to open it and see. I'm going to share my screen as well, so you can see the sources. And this is the second shir in the series that's in the memory of my father, Avi Mori, Mordechai David Ben Chaim. And last week we explored the origins and where Kaddish Atom, where did the mourner's Kaddish really come from? And we learned together that Kaddish is really a way for children of the deceased or other family members to lead the congregation in prayer. And Kaddish was really a smaller, shorter option for leading the congregation in that way, particularly enacted in Aramaic, since that was their language at the time. It would be similar to having a prayer of leading the conversation in English nowadays. And we saw Kaddish Darabanan, the rabbi's Kaddish, which is said after public learning, as perhaps even a particular opportunity that was even more public to allow for the same kind of thing, allow for the Yatomim, allow for the mourners who maybe were not able to lead the prayers, but they had this opportunity to lead the congregation. So today we're going to talk about kind of the other side of the coin a little bit. What is the mechanism, though, that Kaddish affects the soul of the departed? Last week, you really focused a lot on the mourners themselves. But what about the soul? What about the person who has passed on? We're all familiar with the phrase, the neshama should have an aliyah. It's things we skip out of the yard site, say after a person passes. So what does that mean, and how is it related to the Kaddish? So we're going to start in the Rav Moshe Esterles, Shulchan Aruch, and he tells us that nimtza b'midrashot, in source number one, it's found in the Midrash, lomar kaddish al av, that the kaddish should be said for a parent. And he then goes and says, there's a lot of different things that we're going to do. We'll go back into this in a moment, but different things to have the Haftorah, to daven Maariv, particularly on Saturday night. But he ends off by saying, how come? Because kesha ben mitpalel makadesh barabim, when the child davens and says kaddish publicly, hode aviv imo ben gehenim, there's a redemption of the soul from gehenim, from purgatory. So what midrash is he referring to? It's found in the midrashot. So there are a number of versions of this midrash that tell different versions of what's essentially the same kind of story. So here's one of them. It's actually not the one that he's mentioning, but I'll explain in a moment why I picked this one. So Amar Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai tells the story. It says, Pam achas hayiti mahalich baderach. One time I was walking on the way, and matzati adam echad shehu malake eitzim. I saw a person who was gathering wood. He was working very hard. And he says the person looked like they were blackened in some way, they were having a lot of difficulty, and I stopped them to talk to them. And at first the person wouldn't even talk to me, he was running back and forth, he didn't have time. And then eventually he stops the person, he realizes that the person is really whatever person is his soul. The person is no longer living, and it's whatever projection of the person that he's able to somehow see. And the person though stops finally and talks to him. And he says at the end, he tells him that he's a soul and he's going through judgment and he has to do all kinds of crazy things and he's having a difficult time. And at the end, I have it underlined here, he says, this soul turns to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and in other versions of the Midrash, it's Rabbi Akiva, different people. And he says, Bevakasha mimcha. He says, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who is still in the world, I'm asking something of you. Have zahir bo mishash and nolad ad shiyah ben famesh. He says, I have a child. When I died, my wife was pregnant. There's a child in this world that I perhaps never met, but I want you to find that child. And from the time that he's born until he is five, please, halichehu lebeit rabu lemikra, please go make sure that he gets to a Jewish school and make sure that he learns how to read the Shashimar Baruch Hashem Mavorach. And when he is able to be in front of the congregation and he's able to say Baruch Hu Hashem Mavorach in front of the congregation, malonati medinish ganim, he will in fact raise me up out of this judgment that I currently find myself in purgatory in Gehenna. So the reason why I'm quoting this particular medrash, now this medrash does not mention, as you probably have noticed, it doesn't say anything about Kaddish. It says when he gets to the front of the congregation and says, Baruch Hu et Hashem Mavorach, he's clearly leading the prayers. There are other versions where it does specifically say Kaddish, but again, really, this is just another example that bolsters our point from last week and shows us once again that really the Kaddish is simply an example of leading the congregation in prayer. And that's the idea. So this Medrash doesn't even talk about the Kaddish particularly, but of course the one that the Rama is referring to, that version of the Medrash does. And it does particularly speak about Kaddish. So you see here again, though, the idea is that there's definitely an idea that the Kaddish is having an effect on the soul. And in fact, this is the Medrash is telling us that the soul of this person came back and asked Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai or Rabbi Akiva, depending on the version, to, in fact, make sure that their child that they left behind was properly educated and was able to do this for the betterment of the soul that had moved on. Now, we find an idea of preferences in terms of Kaddish, and I want to explain that a little bit because there's a connection that we'll see in a moment. So the Bir Halacha here, which is the Chafetz Chaim, he says that there is five different levels when it comes to preference of who gets to say Kaddish. So we have to really understand what that even means. Sometimes when I learn about this, it falls on our ears. It sounds a little bit funny. What does it mean that there are preferences in terms of Kaddish? Everyone can say Kaddish. So we have to understand that that is a relatively recent development. The fact that you come into shul and they say Kaddish Terabanan or right Kaddish Yatom, mourners Kaddish, and everyone together tries their best to say it together is a pretty recent development. It was not that way for many, many years. And instead, one person would say Kaddish. If you've been in a shul where many people are saying Kaddish together at the same time, you can understand why that might actually be preferential. But that's the way it was for a long time. And a lot of, when you'll see the halachot that talk about preference in terms of who's saying Kaddish, that's what it means. There was only one person who said Kaddish. So there was really a whole hierarchy and a pecking order in terms of who was the person who got to say Kaddish for each individual Kaddish. For us today, it still definitely is meaningful, but you will see this much more in terms of who is going to lead. So you have a number of people who are chiyuvi, a number of people who have an obligation because they're in mourning to lead the congregation. So which person gets preference, which person will be chosen to lead the congregation if they so desire, will be dependent on that. So in, you know, fortunately in our COVID era, we have sometimes something that before this was rather rare. So we had this week in my shul here, where there was somebody who's actually in Shiva. So although I'm in Yud Beis Chodesh, I'm in the 12 months, but since he was in Shiva, so he certainly had preference, he was the one who led the davening, even though there were me and a number of other people who were all in the 12 months, but since he was in Shiva, so he had preference. Now here, the Bir Halacha says that this idea of preference is actually very much tied in, now that we understand the difference that Kaddish makes, the difference that leading the congregation makes for the soul, it's actually very much tied into that, as he says. He says that Yesh ol chol echad madrigav me'atzmo, each one has their own level in terms of preference. V'tam chilukot elu, what's the reason for these different levels? He says the reason for these different levels is she's yasdu chazal, that the rabbis established it, lefi midat hadin ha-matuach, the Kaddish Ulohagim. He says it has to do with an understanding that I don't necessarily have and would be probably too much for this particular class anyway, but that there are levels of judgment. Whatever it is, whatever kind of judgments that the soul goes through, there are levels, and it goes from a more stringent initial judgment to a progressively less so. And therefore, that's why it makes sense, because since the Kaddish, or leading the congregation, the idea, part of the idea that we're seeing now, is that it in fact helps the soul. So it makes sense that the souls that are in the most significant or severe parts of judgment, so those are the mourners. The mourners who are connected to those people are the ones who are going to be leading the congregation. They have the preference of being able to do that first. The Rama as well, he says, so he clarifies, and we're going to understand the reason for this clarification in a minute, that Avelim say Kaddish even on Shabbat and Yom Tov. And you'll notice that the Avelim, the prevailing custom is for them not to lead prayers on Shabbat and Yom Tov. They lead prayers during the week, and other people specifically lead prayers during Shabbat and Yom Tov. Tonight, tomorrow being Rosh Chodesh as well, depends on the custom of the shul in terms of Mincha Maariv, but we do find that. But they don't lead the congregation on Shabbat and Yom Tov. So that custom that we have comes from the Rama here. And he says, Afal Pishe Nisubadabra, he says it's not really, it's not forbidden per se. Somebody who knows how to lead the congregation should do so during the week. And again, we saw this, we came upon this last week in a different context, right? The Rama says clearly that that's actually preferential in terms of saying Kaddish versus leading the congregation. Leading the congregation in prayer actually is the more preferred method. And the Kaddish in some ways, right, was only created because not everybody was able to do that. And since not everybody was able to do that, so they wanted to have a prayer. The Kaddish Yatom was, they took the Kaddish and they said, okay, this can be a prayer, which is in the vernacular that people will be more easily understood. And it's much shorter. And here the Rama gives another option as well that you will see in some shuls. It says, Mishinu Yodelid Palakolatila. Somebody cannot do that. So in addition to the option of just simply saying the Kaddish, he says, Yitpalel Lamatzeach Uvelatzion. They should take over at the second Ashrei, right, in Shacharit, in the morning prayer. So we have the second Ashrei. It's a much shorter part of the prayer. And you will pick up a Kaddish there. And so he gives that as an option as well, another way for a person to be able to lead the congregation. And so in that, we have a secondary option in addition to saying the Kaddish. Now, this also relates to another custom that we have, one that's very relevant for me. The idea of saying Kaddish for 11 months, right? So just saying that, right, there's the Shiva, there's the 7 days of mourning, which moves into the 30-day period. And then you have the 12-month period, which is only for our parents. But we know that the custom is that Kaddish is not said for a parent for 12 months. It's said for 11 months. So why is that? Where does that come from? So we see here in source number 5, the Rama says, Nagu she'ein omrim Kaddish v'tfila rak yud aleph chadashim. We only say it for 11 months. Why? Again, it's tied to the same idea. Kedei shelo yasu avien v'imim rishayim. Because it shouldn't appear that we are acting as if our parents are wicked. What does that mean? Ki mishpat rasha yud beis chodesh. Because the understanding is that the maximum amount of judgment, somebody who really is wicked, whatever that will be defined as, they'll have a 12-month sentence, as it were, in purgatory. And then at that point, they'll be cleansed and they'll be able to go on and get their portion in the world to come. And that's like kind of the worst case scenario. So if you say Kaddish for the full 12 months, you are essentially implying that the soul of the person you are talking about is in the worst case scenario. We don't want to do that. And because of that, we have the custom to not say Kaddish for 12 months for a parent, as you would expect, because that's all the other halachot, all the other laws do apply to the entire 12-month period, but rather it's for 11 months. And the Piskei Tshuva there actually extends this. I don't know that that people actually do this, but he says there's a logical extension to that. He says, what if, he quotes one opinion at least that says, what if Mishi Odeya Ba'avi Moshai Yerushalayim? What if you have somebody who actually says, no, I, my parents were wicked. You know, I lost a parent and they 100% were wicked. I don't know how we would define that. Quite a statement. But if somebody felt they knew that, so he says, so the Osim Shani Don Yud Beis Chodesh, if it was one of the people that we understand that their judgment really is 12 months, so he says, if so, Royim Chuyev Shomer Kaddish Yud Beis Chodesh. So then that person should say Kaddish for 12 months because they're not going to stop saying Kaddish. The whole idea is you shouldn't say Kaddish for 12 months because we don't want it to look like that we think that the parent is wicked. But if they know that the parent actually was wicked, so then of course they should say it for 12 months. Why wouldn't they? I don't know that we do that. I think that that would be quite a statement to make, but it's very much in line. You understand, we see that all of the minhagim, all of the halachot that have to do with this really are all flowing from the same idea that the Kaddish, leading the congregation, is something that is very helpful for the soul. And we're taking into kind of careful consideration what that means. This also relates to another, I think, lesser known custom as well. The Bir Halacha explains when we stop saying it, just as a point of reference in terms of trying to figure it out. If someone is trying to figure out, well, okay, it's 11 months, what does that mean? How do you figure that out exactly? So he explains whatever the Yahrzeit is, it's a month and a day. Look at the Hebrew day of the Yahrzeit, and you do a month and a day before that Yahrzeit. He gives the example of if the 7th of the Shvat is the Yahrzeit, so then Kaddish would be recited through the 6th of Teveit, and that would be it. I mean, if it was a leap year, again, it's 11 months, so a leap year has 13 months, so it would be two months before. Now, the Be'er HaTev says an interesting custom that comes out of that. He says the custom is that the day that the person stops saying Kaddish, if it's for a parent, so that day, that 11, the day to the day that it's 11 months, they get to say all of the Kaddishim, right? And again, remember, we were saying that it used to be that only one person would say each Kaddish. So they would get the honor of saying all the Kaddishes that day. You know, for us, probably this would translate into, they would lead all the prayers. They would do Mara the night before, they would do Shacharit in the morning, they would do Mincha in the afternoon, all of them. Why is that so? And so he says, interesting, the Be'er Halacha explains the custom in number 9. So he says that since the person is really stopping a month early, because we're saying, technically speaking, it should be like everything else and it should be for 12 months. But since the mourner is not saying 12 months, he's essentially giving a month worth of Kaddish over to other people who are also in line, but perhaps were behind him in line, and he's giving it to them and he's pulling himself out of the saying of Kaddish for a month. So they in turn are kind of giving him back at least that day. They say, oh, you're going to stop. So today's going to be your last day. You're not going to continue with Kaddish. We will all step back and let you say all of the Kaddishim, or again, for us, probably all of the prayers on that last day. And because that's the reason, the Be'er Halacha says, so it's not going to apply. It's only going to apply to other people who are on the same level as him, and other people who are in their year of mourning. But it won't really apply to somebody who has Yahrzeit that day, or somebody who's within their 30 days from when the person passed away, because they're not really gaining anything anyway, because they are a higher level of precedence anyway. Now, there's a very interesting, I don't have the source quoted here, but the Taz asked a very interesting question. He points to a different, a parallel custom, also the loss of a parent, and he asks a very interesting question. So the parallel halacha, the parallel law is as follows, that when one mentions their parent, so there's a certain phrase that they're supposed to say afterwards. After the 12 months, they say zichrono livracha. Their memory should be for a blessing. We're very familiar with that phrase. Less known is the fact that during the 12 months, according to what the Shulchan Aruch says, actually a different phrase that's supposed to be used for a parent. And that phrase is Hareini Kaparat Mishkavo, or Mishkava. Right? I am the, in some way, I am the Kapara, I am the, the word is escaping me in English, but I am the, hopefully you understand the word in Hebrew, because the word is really escaping me in English. But it should be for it to be a kapara, we say it should be a forgiveness for the person. So I am in some way a forgiveness for my deceased parent. So the Taz says, okay, so we say that for 12 months. So he says, well, wait a second. When we say that for 12 months, he says, when we say Zechrono Livracha, well, why the change? So he says, Zechrono Livracha implies the person has already started to get their share in the world to come. Their memory should be for a blessing. Hareini Kaparat Mishkavo, focusing on the forgiveness, focusing on that idea of person being punished and needing forgiveness and all of that, that really applies to the first year because at that time, that person is being judged. So the Taz says, okay, so if we have, this is another halacha that seems very connected. It's something else where we're saying that we need to be saying something because the person is going through judgment. So he says, I don't understand. If we're saying the Kaddish in order to help the soul, because the soul is being judged, and we say we should only say that for 11 months, we don't want anyone to get the wrong idea and think that the parent is wicked. So he says it should be the same thing. We should stop saying Hareini Kaparat Mishkavo after 11 months. We should stop at that point. And then we should switch into Zechrono Livracha. So the Taz answers a very interesting way, and I think that will give us clarity. And with this point, we'll sum it up and we'll end. He says as follows. He says, you know what, it's in a different situation. He says, Kaddish, you can stop saying, and there's no problem there. You stop saying the Kaddish, and that's okay. But he says, when you have to say something, saying nothing after the parent's name is disrespectful. So you can't say nothing. He says, you can't really say Zechrono Livracha. You can't switch over, because Zechrono Livracha implies the person is already, they're already enjoying their reward in the world to come. And that may not be accurate. That might not be accurate. So you can't say something that might not be true. You can't actively say something that might not be true. So that's how he contrasts it. So it says with the Kaddish, you're not actively saying something that's not true. You stop saying Kaddish. That implies that the, you know, the soul that's departed is doing okay at that point. So that's fine. Even if that's wrong, you're not actively saying something to the contrary of that. You're just trying to be optimistic about it. But when you, with Hareini Kapart Mishkavo, you don't really have the option of saying nothing, because saying nothing is in and of itself disrespectful. And so that's not really going to work. So to sum up the ideas we've talked about today and then come to a conclusion, we've again seen the idea of Kaddish is really leading the congregation in praise. Ideally, it's really leading the prayers. We saw that even in the Midrash. And Kaddish is kind of a smaller stand-in, which also works in a similar way. Saying Kaddish is also leading the prayer, leading the community, I should say, in prayer, in praise of God. And that, in addition to what we saw last week, which was that has a profound effect on the mourner as a sixth level, the sixth stage of mourning, of meaning making, and making meaning out of the loss for the mourner, it also has a parallel effect on the soul of the departed. So in addition to the effect that it has on the mourner who's saying the Kaddish and leading the congregation in prayer and using the loss to make meaning for the community and for themselves in their own life, it also at the same time also has an effect on the soul. We also have understood this idea of stopping after 11 months is that we're trying to hedge our bets. We're trying to help the soul as much as possible. However, we don't want to do it in a way that's pessimistic. We don't want to message, wow, this soul needs a lot of help. So we're trying to help the soul. We're trying to raise the soul up. At the same time, stopping short of anything that would imply, if we can avoid it, as the Taz is saying, implying that the soul needs the maximal amount of help. So I think that is very interesting and something, it's a lesson for us in that's actually something that mirrors the way we react to judgment in general. And reminded me very much of this rush, which is at the end of Rosh Hashanah. And the rush is talking about whether or not, there's a debate about whether you can fast on Rosh Hashanah or not. And in that discussion, he says the following very interesting thing. He says, he contrasts the Jewish response to judgment, which Rosh Hashanah is the day of judgment, right? Yom HaDin, the day of judgment. And he contrasts our behavior on Rosh Hashanah with the behavior that you would normally associate with being in judgment. He says, normally when a person's in judgment, says lo v'shchorin, the person is going to wear black. He's going to cover himself in black. Megadol, he's not going to shave. Eino chotek, he's probably not going to cut his nails. All he can think about is the fact that he's about to be judged, you know, potentially with a bad judgment. His life is on the line. Eino yodea ech dino yotze. He doesn't know what's going to happen with his judgment. And because of that, he's so completely enwrapped in that feeling, in that anxiousness, that he can't think of anything else. And he looks like he's a mess. He can't think about himself. He can't think about how he looks. But the Rush says beautifully, Aval Yisrael Einan Kein. The Jewish people are not like that. What do we do on Rosh Hashanah? Lov Shim Levanim, we wear white. Mikatfim Levanim, we wrap ourselves in white. Galchin Zepanim, we shave. Chokhin Tziporneim, we cut our nails. We get all ready for Yontav. And on the Yontav itself, Ochlim V'shosim V'smechim B'Rosh Hashanah. And we eat and we drink and we rejoice on our day of judgment. And he says, why is that? Why is it that we act so differently than how you would expect? We know, we're so sure, we're so confident in the fact that God is going to do literally miracles for us, but that God is going to go out of his way, as it were, to help us. And God is definitely going to make sure that we end up with a favorable judgment and rip up, God forbid, any evil decrees against us. So this is really the idea that we are saying here as well, is that we are wanting to do everything we can for the soul, but yet as we do on Rosh Hashanah, we show a supreme confidence that the soul really doesn't need that much help. And I think that's a beautiful lesson for us, because what we're trying to do is we're trying to move forward and make meaning that idea that we're really we really are trusting it in Hashem. So it's a beautiful concept, and you know, may the neshama of my father really experience the same divine kindness, and may his memory continue to be a blessing and an inspiration for all of us.